Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It is our number two of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe hanging out with PJ Glasser. PJ doing an awesome job filling in for Nick Costos. Nick will be back with us on Sunday for You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff. Nick and Sam Panayotovich are getting you set for the week 14 slate in the NFL. But 20 minutes from now, we'll hear from Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer as he helps us break down the World Cup draw. United States looking like we got a pretty manageable draw. Should be able to win this one, at least we think. We'll ask Anthony, though, if that's the right thought process coming up in 20 minutes. But joining us right now to kick off this second hour of You Better You Bet, it's NFL and betting analyst over at Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab, joining us here on You Better You Bet. And you can hit him up on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Frank, thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. We'll start with what we saw last night, because PJ and I were talking about this in the last hour. The Dallas Cowboys playoff hopes feel like they're on life support. In your opinion, are the Cowboys done after losing last night's game to the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, pretty much has to be. I mean, you're down under 10%. You need to win out and get help. I don't think this Cowboys team is necessarily capable of winning out. They were playing good ball, but that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with going on the road losing to a good Detroit team, right? Like, okay, that happens in the NFL. But when you dig yourself a 3-5-1 hole to start the season, you just can't lose any games. That's a problem. And that's what they ran up against last night. And I thought their defense was exposed a little bit, looked a lot more like the defense we saw in the first half of the season. So I just don't think the Cowboys can win out. Like, that's the problem. That's a first step to this whole thing, is winning, you know, 4 in a row to end the year. I don't think they got that in them. But, that's what happens when you get too far behind.
Do you think the Lions, Frank, if they get into the postseason, do you still think this is a team that could potentially make a run in the NFC?
I think there's two kind of different ways I'm leaning on this. One is, yeah, why not? Because nobody's good this year. I don't really think there's any chance in 10 years we're looking back saying that 2025 fill in the blank champion, boy, they were great. Like, we're not gonna be talking about them like the 99 Rams or anything, right? So nobody's really great this season, so why not the Lions? Why can't they get in with their explosive offense and make a run? Like, that is on my mind. But at the same time, I'm like, this Lions team might just not be that great. I haven't won 2 in a row since week 5. And now they're, you know, that Brian Branch injury is no joke. He is a big part of their secondary, what they do. Combine that with a Terry and Arnold injury, and you're like, well, are they really going to make a run on the road? Probably, because I don't think they're winning the North. Are they going to be able to win 3 straight road games and then a Super Bowl? I don't see that happening. But again, if you put them, you know, each and every NFC team, can they beat the Rams? Sure, of course. Can they beat the Seahawks? Yeah, on their good day, they probably could. Can they beat the Packers? I guess so, if they haven't done it yet. But So I guess the short answer is I don't think they're going to make a run because they haven't shown that consistency, but I don't know anybody in the NFC who is going to make a run. So maybe the answer is them.
Well, I mean, like the way you're just describing it, it's like I think we all are on the same page here. Is that, like, this is a very wide open season.
Very.
If you had to guess right now, as we're heading into Week 14, like who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? Because I think there's nothing that you could say that anybody would have to laugh at, because we're all looking at this thing and saying, "Hey, yeah, you can poke holes at all these teams that are thought to be contenders."
Right, exactly. And I've never seen the odds look this flat before, really, either. Like, you look, and it's like Rams are the favorites at about, what, plus 450? You go back to the Seahawks at, like, plus 850? There's not a single team. Look, I'm wrong a lot, right, guys? Like, I'm wrong. But at least by now, I feel like I have an opinion. Like, oh, yeah, the Bills are going to go on a run and win the Super Bowl. Not always right, but at least some team has come to the forefront where I've been like, yeah, that's the team I'm riding with the rest of the year. I have nobody right now. There's not a team where I'm like, yes, absolutely. If I had to pick one, I do think Seattle's the best team. If I had to be honest, which is the best team in the NFL, I do think it's Seattle Seahawks, but it's also possible they're not even the best team in their own division. I do think the two best teams are in the NFC West. I'll say that. But I don't – am I really thinking Sam Darnold's winning a Super Bowl this year? Really? Like, I don't necessarily want to go out on that limb. So I guess if I had to make a pick now, it's the Seahawks. But I'll be honest with you. For the first time that I could really remember in a long, long time, I'm sitting here in almost mid-December saying, I don't have a pick right now. I do not know who's coming out of this thing because every team has been so up and down and inconsistent.
That's what makes this week so great, Frank, is we have three games with huge division implications, right? Ravens, Steelers, Colts, Jags, and then Bears, Packers. And then you have some other big games. You look at the Sunday night game, Texans and Chiefs, Eagles, Chargers on Monday night. Definitely want to get your thoughts on most of those games. But, like, of those five, the biggest games this weekend that we're going to have, what's kind of the one game that you're most looking forward to?
You know, I'm probably going to go off the board. Like, of course, Bears-Packers is really fun and all that. I think the game I'm most interested in, though, is Colts-Jaguars. And I know that that's probably a weird contrarian answer, but the AFC South is really kind of interesting. I mean, you got this Colts team that started off 7-1, looked great. All of a sudden, they've lost 3 of 4. But I don't – look, they lost – the last two losses were on the road at Kansas City in overtime. Okay. Then you lost to a really, really hot Texans team in a poorly officiated game, and that was close. It's like, I don't know the Colts are necessarily folding the tent. They just have hit a rough patch, whereas this Jaguars team, I don't know what to make of them. I don't think they're very good, and I picked the Jaguars winning that division before the season started, and I'd love for it to come true so I get something right, but I don't really trust that Jaguars team right now. They're not very good. So, but the beauty of some of these games that we get, like last night, is things start to crystallize. Things start to, you get some clarity on, oh, okay, the Jaguars just beat the Colts. Yeah, now they're clearly the AFC South favorite. Or, yeah, we shouldn't have been overreacting to the Colts. They're still a pretty good team. They just beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville. So I'm really looking forward to that game because I think it's going to offer some kind of path to what the AFC South has to offer the rest of the year. And by the way, don't count out the Texans in that race either. The Texans are coming on strong.
Yeah, this is You Better You Bet, Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser, hanging out with Frank Schwab, NFL betting analyst over at Yahoo Sports, on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Let's talk about those Houston Texans. I'm high on this Houston Texans team. You can just clip the I'm high part as well. But actually, I'm not. But like, the Houston Texans have been really good so far, like the last couple of weeks here. Like, they beat the Buffalo Bills. You mentioned the game against the Indianapolis Colts. Like, they have been really on this run. Now they're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, catching 3.5 points, total sitting at 41.5. Do they go into Arrowhead Stadium where it's going to be freezing temperatures? It's going to be cold outdoors. Like, how do you see this playing out with the Kansas City team that's going up against the backs against the wall, needing to get a win here to keep their playoff hopes alive?
Yeah, and it's one of those kind of weird reverse splits where you think, oh, the team from Houston probably doesn't want to see cold weather, but this Texas team seems like a team built for cold weather. They're going to beat you up defensively. That defense is awesome. I was not high on the Texans coming into the year. I was not high on the Texans for the first half of the season. So I'm not trying to just get one of my preseason predictions at a finish line or anything, but I can tell you, I don't think there's a much better team in the NFL the past few weeks than the Houston Texans. They are really playing well. We saw what they did to Buffalo. The defense is fierce. It's nasty. Easily the best defense in football. I think they've figured out some of their offensive line issues. Not to the point where they're a top half offensive line, but they're competent, unlike the Raiders or the Titans. Like, they have actually figured out their offensive line issues a little bit. So this Texans team goes into Kansas City, who has its own offensive line issues. Josh Simmons, their left tackle, going on IR. I don't know how the Chiefs are going to protect, really. And if it does get cold and nasty at a night game like that, I don't think the Chiefs are really built to win that kind of game. We really think Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt are going to carry them to the finish line? Like, no, that's not going to happen. So I think the Texans are live here to win straight up. I think they're playing that well. And when we talk about, okay, this is, I really do think this season we're going to have some random champion. We're going to look back and be like, yeah, that team was terrible until the beginning of December. Then they got hot and won a Super Bowl, made a Super Bowl somehow. Kind of like the 2020 Buccaneers, where you look back at their season. Why not the Texans? That defense is so good that it's a type of unit where you watch them the last couple of weeks with, you know, the win over the Colts, which was really impressive. The win over the Bills was really impressive. Why can't that defense carry this team for 2 months? I could see it happening, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Chiefs lose on Sunday night, effectively just ending their playoff hopes, which none of us saw coming. None of us were sitting here before the season. I don't know if you guys were. I certainly wasn't sitting here saying, no. Yeah, Chiefs might miss the playoffs this year. Like, no, nobody saw that coming in the middle of this dynasty. But pretty much their next loss is it, that's it. That's all, folks.
100%. And Frank, that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think your prediction for who wins the AFC, if you had to make one, if Kansas City makes the playoffs, right, and they win their next four game win out and go to the postseason, win their next five games, do you think you would roll with the Chiefs to win the AFC, as probably most people would if they go in hot? Or would you maybe roll with the team that you were just making the case for, the Texans, or maybe you like the Patriots or somebody else? Do you think maybe your opinion would change if you see the Chiefs get on a roll, or do you feel strong about a couple other teams in the AFC?
No, I really do think in that scenario, if the Chiefs were to, say, win out, with that's wins against the Broncos, the Chargers, the Texans, at that point, you'd have to say, yeah, this Chiefs team's probably going to win the AFC. I don't trust the Bills. I was riding this Ravens bandwagon until last week, and then I saw them on Thanksgiving and said, nope, they ain't got it. They ain't got it this year. So I don't think the Patriots are as good as their record. Nothing against them. They're having a fine season, but that schedule's really helped them out. So if the Chiefs do make it to that point, yeah, I think you'd have to go with them. And part of my whole thing about the Chiefs, and you guys know this, if you just remove the records, which I know most people can't do, but if you just remove the records and you look at the Chiefs metrics from 2024 and the Chiefs metrics from 2025, they're the exact same team. They're no worse this year than they were last year when they went 15-2. This is any stat you could give me, they were equal or maybe even better this year with Rashee Rice back in the lineup and all that kind of stuff. So if this Chiefs team does make the playoffs, you'd have to take them seriously as a contender. The one team, though, that I've kind of been beating the drum that they're underrated is the Denver Broncos. And I know they've won a ton of close games lately, and that counts too. But there is this that nobody likes to talk about. Denver Broncos have two losses this year, with no time left on the clock at the Indianapolis Colts, with no time left on the clock at the Los Angeles Chargers. Those are two playoff teams. That's how close the Broncos are right now to being undefeated. And nobody wants to talk about that because their offense is inconsistent. And we've just gotten to this point in NFL analysis where if you're just a defensive first team, you're going to be downgraded. And the Broncos play amazing defense. They're really, really well coached by a Hall of Fame coach, Sean Payton. And I think their offense can be good enough in the playoffs. So if there's one team in the AFC, if the Chiefs don't make it, you know, by winning five in a row or anything, it might be the Broncos. I don't see what that... Yes, their offense is very inconsistent, but they know how to win. They have a great coach. They have an unbelievable defense. The Broncos are a team, too, that I'm like, this team is just being... For a team with as good of a record as it has, being very underrated and under the radar.
Yeah, and they might have home field advantage. We've all seen, like, Denver in the playoffs, like, that's a tough place to go in there and win. Like, those Brady Belichick teams would go in there and lose to the Denver Broncos in that kind of environment. Let's flip over to the NFC, because we have a massive Bears-Packers game, which this is really fun for football fans. Like, it's been a while since we've had a Bears-Packers game this meaningful, this late into the year. The betting market has Green Bay as a pretty healthy size favorite, 6.5, and maybe we go to 7 by the time we get to the weekend. How do you see this game playing out here between Chicago and Green Bay?
Yeah, and I think I was at lunch before I came on with you guys. I think I saw the alert that Roma Dunze has been ruled out, which obviously does not help the Bears, if that's a fact. And so, yes, I think the line says it all about what the market thinks about the Bears. I've gotten into trouble with Bears fans the past couple of weeks because I pointed out, I used the word fraud, which I shouldn't have done, a little overdone, but the fact is, this is not the type of team that is really worthy of being the number one seed in the NFC. They haven't been that good this year. They've been fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with what the Bears have done this season. I think every fan of Chicago should be excited over what they're seeing with Ben Johnson, the way they run the ball, the wins they've gotten. But the Bears, before they played the Philadelphia Eagles, were good at two things, really. Really, really good at two things. Winning close games and beating bad teams. That's what they had done all season. Now, you go with Philly, you beat them like you did. Okay, that's an eye-opening thing. Maybe they're improving, but I don't think the market has reacted to that. You see a 6.5 here for the Packers team that plays with its food just about every single week. Like, they barely beat the Giants. They barely beat the Cardinals. They didn't beat the Panthers. They didn't beat the Browns. So, but all of a sudden, the Packers are almost a touchdown favorite. Like you said, that line, I think, will probably get the 7 by game day. It just makes no sense. So it just shows kind of the disrespect for the Bears in the market. I'm not necessarily against that either. I think the Bears are over their skis with their record, though I do think they can keep it close because the Packers keep every game close. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun game. I think that we're going to get a competitive game, and I'm thankful that rivalry is back. It is the best rivalry in the NFL. I say that with some bias coming from Wisconsin originally, but that's the best rivalry in the NFL. And it's nice to see both teams good at the same time, and probably going to be good for the next few years too. Both teams have a really, really good foundation to be good for, you know, 3-4 more years down the road.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to watch it. Lambeau Field, it's going to be freezing. This is what Bears Packers was growing up. Like, this is what we all wanted to see. And the fact that we have it this Sunday is going to be a real treat for us as football fans. He is Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports NFL and betting analyst on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Frank, we appreciate you for stopping by and hanging out with us here on You Better You Bet. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys.
Awesome stuff there from Frank Schwab joining us here on You Better You Bet here, PJ. Wow, he used that F word with the Bears. Fraud. That's the word you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear that fraud word. But, I mean, you look at some of these games, it's hard to argue. But I guess we'll have a chance to see how it all unfolds Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. All right, on the other side, absolutely fired up for this, our buddy Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer, breaking down the FIFA World Cup draw, coming at you next year on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Friday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with our guy PJ Glasser. Thank you to Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, who joined us in the last segment, giving us his thoughts on week 14 in the NFL. He's rolling with the Houston Texans, PJ. How about that for Sunday Night Football? It's music to my ears. I love the Houston Texans. Talked about them before their Thursday Night Football
liked
game.
Liked them on Tuesday, too.
Yeah, so he's in on Houston. Now, I don't
know
if I'm
like
going to be...
They're feeling like the Cowboys a little bit, Femi. Everybody's down on the cheese. Feeling a little bit like that.
We'll it is feeling a little bit like that. Now, I'm invested in the futures markets. Like I bet them 16-1 to win the division before the Bills game. Like I like this team to make a run. I am a little concerned about how much people love them this week.
People
we'll see.
Yeah,
and it's against Mahomes too.
Must win. They lose that, they're out. Yeah, like I don't know. Don't think I
could.
Could
you imagine the Kansas City Chiefs just being like out? Like they lose this game, they're 6-7. They can kiss their playoff hopes alive. Like it's just ridiculous. But yeah, that's where we stand right now in the AFC. We are working right now to get Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer on to talk some World Cup as we got the draw earlier this afternoon. The draw took place at our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. When we get him on the phone, we will then be able to break down the FIFA World Cup draw with the United States, PJ. I'll tell you what, USA looking pretty solid. This is pretty solid for United States, who has Paraguay, Australia, and then winner of Playoff C in their group. So the United States will have a pretty solid chance to win Group D here at the World Cup. So we're going to get Anthony on the phone here shortly just to go ahead and break that down as looking at the favorites, PJ.
Yeah.
To win it all. Because it's hard to win the World Cup back-to-back. I mean, it's like, because it's not like in most sports, like, oh, they go back-to-back. It's just like, you win it in 2024 and 2025. No, this would need to be 2022, 2026 with Argentina, which is why they're no longer the favorites. Because, of course, guys get older and, you know, like, it's just like the team composition is not as good. But, yeah, we'll get into all of that, though, with our guest who's joining us right now, betting analyst at The Ringer, co-host of The Ringer Soccer Show on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. It is the great Anthony DeBundo joining us here to break down the FIFA World Cup draw. Anthony, thanks for hanging out with us here on this Friday afternoon. Happy FIFA World Cup draw to you and yours, buddy. How we doing?
Oh, it's a beautiful day, Femi. I mean, I think this is like the first taste that you get for the World Cup. You know, there's been so much great qualifying, some incredible stories, the Haitis, the Curaçaos, the Scotlands of the world making it to the World Cup. And then today, you just get such an information overload. I'm sitting there in my spreadsheet trying to update numbers as they're coming in, trying to, you know, figure out, okay, which group is the toughest, which group is the easiest. And then even thinking bigger picture, okay, we kind of have an idea of who the favorites in each group are. If the favorites win every group, how do they get paired up against each other in a potential quarterfinal or a semifinal? Who ends up getting the easiest path of the favorites? Of course, the tournament's still months away, but it is so exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Anthony, I think anytime we have a draw, the big talking point is always the group of death, right? Who got screwed of the top seed or maybe the top two teams? What group do you think is the toughest on paper?
Yeah, so I actually went and took the average ELO score of all 12 groups. ELO is a metric that looks at team strength and kind of compares over one another. And so the toughest group thus far is Group I, which is France, Senegal, Norway, and whoever comes out of that playoff spot, who I really think is kind of cannon fodder for those other three teams. I mean, Norway, everybody knows Erling Haaland and Martin Odegaard, the two-star player. Their depth is a big question, but when you have two attacking players that complement each other as well as Odegaard and Haaland do, you're going to be a real threat. And they were so dominant in qualifying. Really impressive. Senegal has an excellent defensive spine. They're a very tough team to beat. They gave England a real tough game at the World Cup 4 years ago, and they've been a perennial power in Africa. And then France, who I think for my money are the most talented team at this World Cup. I'm not saying they're the best team, but I think they're the most talented team at the top of that group. And France really, I think, got the short end of the stick on both ends, because even if France wins the group, Their most likely round of 16 would be Germany, and then they'd have a potential quarterfinal with the Netherlands. And so they got, I think, the toughest draw of any of the favorites, just in terms of having to grind through your group. They're going to qualify because the new stage, like, everybody qualifies, but then getting a potentially difficult knockout stage just to get to the quarterfinals compared to some of these other top favorites.
This is You Better You Bet, Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser, hanging out with Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer, host of The Ringer Soccer Show on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. How about the United States of America, the Stars and Stripes? I mean, that's what everyone was locked in on. Group D, the United States, and they'll play their opening match in LA against Paraguay. But when you look at the rest of the group, Paraguay, Australia, and then it's going to be the winner of that playoff C between Turkey, Romania, Slovakia, and Kosovo. BetMGM right now has the United States as an even money favorite to come out and win the group. How do you handicap the U.S.? To me, it looks like we got a pretty favorable draw. Is that how you see it? And how far can the United States go in this 2026 World Cup on home soil?
Yeah, so anytime you're projecting these international tournaments, like, it is tough because there's a few different ways to look at it. You could go by ELO rating, which I just mentioned. And if you go by the ELO ratings, then this is actually the most balanced group from top to bottom, where the weakest team and the best team are pretty evenly matched. And I think when you look at the teams, you don't think of Australia or Paraguay or even potentially Turkey, if that ends up being the team that gets through the playoff, as these soccer powers. There's no Colombia, there's no Uruguay, there's no even Morocco, who's a really talented team that made the semifinals of the last World Cup. There aren't those kind of teams. So yes, on paper, if you go by just, you know, talent in the squad, they are the most talented team in this group. I don't know that I haven't run numbers yet. I don't know that I could get them to even money, though. Like, I think that the gap between the teams is small enough. We've actually seen, funny enough, if Turkey comes through the playoff, we've seen the U.S. play Turkey, Australia, and Paraguay all in the last 6 months. They lost to Turkey in a pretty competitive game. They had two tight battles with Argentina. They definitely outplayed Paraguay in that game. So I don't think there's a case to be made that any of these teams are better than the United States, but I also think that the overall strength of the group is pretty relatively balanced. So I don't think it's just going to be a walkover for the United States to get through. No real, like, uh-oh, this game's going to be tough, but no, oh, this game's going to be easy.
Anthony, I don't know how big of a college basketball fan you are, but to me, England is like Purdue, where I always see them at the top. They got all this talent, but they can just never get it done. You know, like, they're always like quarterfinals, semifinals. They have all these stars from the Premier League, but they just can't get over the hump. And right now, at BetMGM, they're the second betting favorite, and they're going to be super talented again. I mean, is this the year that maybe you think England could make a run?
I mean, look, if you're looking at just consistent success at the international level, there's without winning, there's nobody better. Apt comp. I mean, I think that you go back to 2018, they get to the semifinals and lose to Croatia. You go to the Euro 2020, which was played in 2021, they lose the final to Italy. 2022, they lose the quarterfinal in a dramatic fashion to France, who ends up going to the final and comes within a minute of winning it. And then in the last Euros, they get all the way to the final. But what I think is interesting about England is that throughout that run, Gareth Southgate got the results, but the process was never actually that good. Like, their underlying performances were not that of a team who was about to go, like, take a leap or really wow you. I mean, it was always like, oh, England struggled to another 1-0 or 1-1 type game. They got through on penalties, or they had some late magic individual moments of brilliance. They now have a manager who I respect a lot more as a tactician and as a, just quite frankly, manager in terms of getting the most out of talent. And I think the other interesting development for England is that they have another midfielder who's really had a breakout this year in the Premier League, and Elliot Anderson, who plays at Nottingham Forest. The big question was, like, okay, they have Declan Rice and they have Harry Kane and Bukayo Saka, and the defense has always been elite and will continue to be elite. Do they have another kind of midfield passer to really make this thing go, to make this team more explosive and energetic going forward, to unlock something? And I think Anderson could be that person that both stabilizes England in the midfield and makes their Declan Rice more of a threat going forward. So, I mean, I'm not saying right now that I would bet England, but I think if you made me rank the teams, England would be my first pick.
Wow.
I mean, I just, football's coming home. We've all heard this. It's just, I can't do it. I cannot do it with England.
I can't either. I can't. I want to.
It's not,
I can't.
It's not coming home, guys. It's not coming home. It's 66 was a long time ago, but we'll see. Maybe the three Lions can prove us wrong here. Is there a dark horse team that you think? I mean, obviously we're going to find out like the exact order of the matchups and the sites coming up over the next couple of days. But when you look at the odds and you look at the draw, is there a team that you're like, oh, like I think that team's going to be undervalued and I want to bet them to maybe make a run to the quarterfinals or perhaps maybe even the semifinals next summer?
Yeah, I'm every day in life I go through, I'm trying to find who the Morocco is going to be. I mean, 4 years ago, the boys at Wonder Goal at the Action Network, like we had it. We were on Morocco and Japan as the two long shots to make a run, and Morocco made that crazy run to the semifinals. The one thing is, like, people will take these crazy long outrights. There's only 8 nations that have ever won the World Cup in the history of the tournament, and it's Spain, England, France, Brazil, Argentina, Germany are in the top 7 of the odds boards, basically. And then there was, Italy and Uruguay being the two non-teams who I don't really think have much of a shot to win this one. But so, like, in terms of winning the tournament, I don't really see it. I think the long shot that I've latched onto and that I really like is this Ecuador team. They are very much a whole is more than the sum of the parts. They went toe-to-toe with Argentina multiple times in the last few years where you watched that game, and if you didn't know which team was which, you wouldn't know which team was better. And I think it's a credit to Ecuador. Ecuador took Argentina to a shootout in the last Copa America. They finished 2nd in points in qualifying in South America. They only give up 5 goals in 18 matches. They're an elite defense. They have they have names that people would know. Moises Caicedo is probably the best midfielder in the Premier League this year for Chelsea. Kendry Páez is a young stud playing in the French League. And Pedro Incapié has been valuable for Arsenal this year. Like, they have names that people recognize, not a ton of stars surrounding this team, but they're very much a whole is more than the sum of the parts, and I think they're going to be one of the teams that are super underrated. I think Norway probably people have caught up to what Norway is now, but you have 2 of the 15 best attacking players in the tournament. You're going to have a chance there. As you look further down the board, I still think that if Denmark gets in, they're going to be underrated. The Swiss are super high floor and always reliable too. The Swiss are just perennially underrated. They're never going to win the tournament, but like, their quarterfinal material to pull an upset or two as well. So those are the three teams for me that I've kind of early on circled. I still have to dig more into some of these even longer shots to figure out who's good. I know Uzbekistan has some surprisingly good underlying metrics, but I'm not really sure what to make of that yet.
That's what I was going to ask you, Anthony. You know, for soccer, like, what are the metrics you look at, right? Football, it's like DVOA. Baseball, people like looking at WAR. Like, we have all these other stats we're familiar with in these other sports. But for soccer, like, are you looking for offensive juggernauts? Are you looking for teams that are, like, stingy on defense? What usually tends to win in these international tournaments, especially the World Cup, if there's, like, an underlying theme?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the most fascinating things that I love about soccer in general. Like, we watch baseball, we watch basketball, and I love all those sports too, but they do feel kind of solved. Like, you know what you're getting out of those sports. But, you know, what's fun about international tournaments especially is there kind of isn't data. Like, you're just going into them somewhat blind, being like, how are these players going to come together? You really don't know necessarily. You have qualifying data, but a lot of those games are against random countries that don't really compete on the same talent plane. And as a result, you're just stuck with not really being sure how to price half of these teams. I think it's the hardest thing to do is these international tournaments. And so it is a little bit more art than science. Like, whereas with club season, like, if I'm doing the English Premier League, which I know I've come on and talked about before, Liverpool plays 50 games a year. And so I have all kinds of data from expected goals to expected threat to possession numbers that I can use to be like, okay, we kind of have a good idea stratified of like, what is Liverpool? But what is Morocco? I don't know. They played like 10 competitive games a year with usually different lineups that aren't necessarily the lineups they're going to roll up with. But you mentioned something about tactics. I think the tactical interesting piece of this is that the 2022 World Cup was defined by not having the ball. Traditionally, when you watch a soccer match, you're always like, okay, the better team is going to have most of the possession. But the 2022 World Cup, and teams like Morocco and Japan honestly excelled at this, because it is so hard to bring players from different teams together to practice like 8 times and then start playing matches together. Soccer is such a connectivity sport. You get situations where teams aren't really well drilled in possession structure. And so sometimes if you're really good defensively out of possession and you have good counterattacking players who can play more direct, on the break. Those are the teams that have consistently outperformed the underlying metrics and the expectations at the World Cup. And Morocco is a classic example of this. Even France is not like a possession juggernaut. They were just so good in transition that no team would ever want to attack them because they were at risk of getting beat down the other end. So I think that not having the ball was the story of the 2022 World Cup, and I'm fascinated to see if that changes in 2026.
Anthony, we're running up against it here on time here, but we have to get this answer from you. And I know there's still a lot of time between the summer. Like, the final's not going to be until July. But if you had to put it in pencil right now, who do you have winning the 2026 FIFA World Cup in about 30 seconds? Or 10
it's
seconds, rather. Excuse me.
It's coming home. It's coming
home. He's doing it. No, it's not. No, cut him off. Cut him off. That is Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer, Ringer Soccer Show on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. Cannot believe he likes the Three Lions, but hey, we love Anthony. On the other side, we'll get to LeBron's streak as that came to an end last night in Toronto. This is You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Femi Ebefe, PJ Glasser. Thank you to Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer, who joined us in the last segment, breaking down the FIFA World Cup draw. Absolutely love that conversation. The conversation carried into the break. PJ and I talking about it. Jake, Tyler all chiming in about the World Cup. Very much fired up for summer of 2026, next summer here in the United States. And it's not just us. It's also Mexico and Canada. It is a North America World Cup, the biggest World Cup in the history of the sport. But before we continue further, have to let you know about the awesome promotions that you need to take advantage of this weekend over at BetMGM. No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. Use today's Parlay Boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. PJ, man, this World Cup. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I mean, how old were you in 2010 during the USA-Algeria match? Like, I remember, like, watching that. I was 20 at the time, so I could not go to the bars So I remember watching it at home back up in the Seattle area and like early morning just going absolutely nuts when Landon Donovan scored the goal that won the USA the group and advanced them into the knockout stage.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I was 14 years old watching that goal. That was a good one. I remember, I think it was the next World Cup 2014 when we played, when we were in the group of death with Germany and Portugal. Yep. And Jermaine Jones had that sick goal too.
I think
give us the draw, I think, against Portugal or something.
So Jermaine Jones had the goal. That put us up 2-1. But then like Cristiano Ronaldo, like in like the last second of the match, like just like hit this like awesome crosser, and then I forgot who scored the goal for Portugal, but then it ended up, that's how we ended up drawing instead of like winning the group that day.
That's
but we eventually advanced, but like it put it on hold there for a second as Ronaldo kind of broke our hearts there momentarily.
I remember that 2010, the year of Algeria, was that also the year where we played England? And I just remember their goalie like totally botched like a save.
It was.
That went in for a goal.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's what England does.
Yeah, that's why we can't. Again, they are Purdue. And I think Anthony strikes me as a guy who's like a big sports dude. So I think he knows what I mean when I say that. But that's why I just like England gives me those vibes. I'm with you, Femi. I can't.
You know what? You know who England is? Like, England's, you say they're Purdue. I think England's the New York Knicks. That's what I think they are. Like if you don't know soccer, like, and you know American sports dynamics, they're the New York Knicks. They've won one title. They think they invented the sport, and their fans are absolutely nuts. Like, that's England, and there's so much pressure. And the minute they get a taste of potentially getting to the title game, they go ballistic. Like, England fans can't contain themselves when they get to the semifinals, and then somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to lose on penalties, because that's the England story at a major tournament. And, yes, I do remember the Euro 2020 and 2021 when it was at Wembley against Italy, and I had a future on Italy at 12-1 to win the Euros, and Italy beat England on England's home soil. So, yes, I will not be betting the Three Lions as that team continues to underperform in the biggest of moments. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about the World Cup. I did want to get to this story from last night in the world of sports, PJ. LeBron James, the streak has come to an end. The LeBron double-digit scoring streak came to an end last night after an 8-point performance against the Toronto Raptors. And it's so fitting that the streak came to an end, PJ, because LeBron made the right basketball play and hit Rui Hachimura in the corner to make the game-winning three as time expired. He could have taken the shot, and if he makes it, he gets his 10 points, or if he misses, he got 5 more minutes to get 2 points and keep the streak going, passes it to Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura makes the game-winning three as his streak ends at 1,297 consecutive games. Began on January 6, 2007, and it ended on December 1st, 2025. I don't think we'll ever see anybody, at least in our lifetime, come close to this streak after LeBron James' consistent dominance. And yes, we can talk about LeBron right now and how he looks, which is not great, but a hell of a streak nonetheless, though, where the closest person, Michael Jordan, is at 866 games all time. LeBron James, the streak coming to an end last night.
To me, it'll always be the most impressive part of LeBron is how durable and how consistently great he has been for so long. I mean, it's ridiculous. And last night, I mean, it's crazy, Femi. I have this group chat with two of my cousins and my uncle, okay? Like, you know, we're all big Ravens and Orioles fans. We're all big sports fans. So anytime there's a sporting event on or something big happens, we'll text in there. And the LeBron news came across. We all got the alert, and then we're texting about it. And one of my cousins is only in the 11th grade, you know? So he wasn't alive when the streak started. And we're like, when you put it in that perspective, it's kind of wild. It's kind of wild how long it's been going on. So crazy, and kudos to LeBron for he could have kept the record going with a game winner last night against Toronto, but instead he made the winning play to give it to Rui. Part of me, though, Femi, tonight when he plays the Celtics,
kind of out tonight.
Oh, he is out tonight? I thought he was playing tonight.
He out because he old, bro.
Okay. I was going to say, I was looking forward to coming right back with him. And he's going to be jacking, betting the over on his points.
Not only, PJ, is he is out because of left foot joint arthritis in addition to the right sciatica.
Well, when you drop 8 points, that's what happens, you know? I mean, that's when you drop 8. Femi, if he got 10, the sciatica would have felt a little bit better. But at 8, you know, we gotta rest. We gotta do the load management.
They have the graphic. It says left foot joint arthritis. He's turning 41 at the end of the month. Like, I wish he had just retired at the start of the season and just said, hey, this is the farewell tour. Like, because this is... LeBron's one of my favorite athletes of all time. It's sad to watch LeBron James play right now. Like, it really is. And the streak is great, and it was awesome. And, like, the longest active streak, by the way, is 267 games with Kevin Durant. he's got 1,000 more to catch up, KD. Good luck with that one. It's sad to see him in this state. And I really wish that when he had teased the announcement of big announcement coming up tomorrow, and everyone was wondering what it was going to be, and it ended up being a Hennessy partnership. But I really wish he said, hey, man, this is the last ride, because it's a clean break. He doesn't have a contract. This is the last year of his deal with the Lakers. They don't want him back. The Lakers want to start a new chapter with Luka and Austin Reeves, who, oh, by the way, continues to look like an all-NBA player. Like, I don't know how this is going to end for LeBron James, but it just feels like we might be headed towards sort of a sad ending for one of the all-time great, not NBA players, but American athletes of our time.
Are we starting to reach Peyton Manning territory with LeBron, you think? Is it getting that bad, or it's not quite there yet?
I mean, it's a great question, because we might be there. I don't know if the sciatica is ever going to heal unless he takes 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think he's going to do that. We might be there. And for those who don't know, PJ's referencing Peyton Manning in that 2015 season when he was benched for Brock Osweiler. And that was the correct decision by Denver, in my opinion. Now, he went and came back and finished out in the playoffs, but they won in spite of Peyton Manning. They didn't win because of Peyton Manning. No. We might be there with LeBron, and it sucks. He's making 46% of his shots, and 30% from three, 50% from the free throw line. It's this isn't the LeBron we all knew. LeBron was one of the most efficient players in league history, and now he's just a shell of himself. And he should be. He's about to be 41, but maybe he hung on for 1 year too long here. And if he doesn't retire this year, I can't imagine what next season would look like.
Yeah, I know, man. Like you said, it's sad because he's been so great for so long, and you just want him to go out the right way. So we'll see. He maybe went into this year thinking he would give it another go, but with kind of how the year is going, you wonder if he just kind of decides what does LeBron have left to prove at this point? I know he wanted to try and win another title in LA outside of the COVID year, but I don't know, man. I think it's time for him to definitely consider if this is going to be the last year.
I was talking about this with Bill on the phone earlier this afternoon as we're getting ready for the show. Doesn't it feel like Cleveland needs to be where he ends this thing? Because it's not going to be with the Lakers. That's done. This is the last year with the Lakers. I don't know where else he could play to where it would be normal. I don't LeBron James signs with the Portland Trail Blazers. Does anyone want to see that? LeBron James is now in Memphis. Does anyone want to see that? And I'm just throwing teams out there. I don't think these teams would even be interested. But sure. To me, it feels like he has to go back home to Cleveland for one last year.
You think he
maybe
goes
you
back
could say
again?
Miami, but
does he go back?
I mean, that's
again?
Where else is he going to end his career?
The team that came to mind for me was Golden State, because it's a quick plane
you think
ride.
So?
Quick plane ride over to L.A. and from Golden State, obviously. His family's going to stay there. And him and Steph, they obviously love each other. They respect each other so much. They got a taste of it at the Olympics. And I kind of think there's always been kind of that thought there, how much it would be fun to play with each other, play, you know, on the same team with each other.
See,
so
Here's why that doesn't work, though, is that because he and Steph were rivals during those Cavs-Warriors run. And while they are obviously they really love playing together, and they got that experience at the Olympics, and that was really cool for all of us to watch, I don't think LeBron wants to have the end of his career where people have the memes of saying, oh, you went and limped to Golden State to go play with Steph Curry. He's very self-conscious of a lot of how he's perceived and all that stuff. I don't think he would want to do that, even though I'm sure he would love to play with Steph, but just the perception of, Here I am with my left foot joint arthritis and sciatica, gimping on up to the Golden State to play with Steph Curry in my last year. just that doesn't feel like it would sit right with me. And like with most basketball historians, I feel like it wouldn't sit right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like you said, though, just if he does move on from another team, you know, like, don't go to, like, the Hornets. Don't go to the Pelicans. Don't go to the Wizards. Yeah. Like, please don't do any of this. You know, like, stay.
Who would ever go to the Wizards?
Yeah, who would do that? Who could possibly
Who would do such a thing?
Who would do such a thing?
all-time great amongst us would ever go to the Wizards?
Yeah, I guess maybe I just – Cleveland does make a lot of sense. I just don't know if he would go back there again. I don't know if he'd do it again. I don't know.
Hey, man, at some point, we all got to go home. we all got to come. LeBron, just go home. Go to Cleveland. Maybe come off the bench if you have to. Get the farewell tour. Because any other team, I think it just looks a little bit weird. And ultimately, it looks sad, which I don't want that to be the case for LeBron James, one of the best players in the NBA history. All right, on the other side, we'll hit some NFL news and notes as we kick off hour number three on a Friday here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.